Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, February 2nd, 2018. It's just after 4 UTC as we start. I'm Sam Minter, and with me is Yvonne Beau. And before we get to the agenda, before we get to anything else, Yvonne, it's Yvonne's birthday. So happy birthday, Yvonne.
Oh, well, okay, yes, technically, okay, yes, GMT, yes, it is my birthday.
Okay, you
yes.
you got like, what, another hour?
I have 54 minutes on Eastern time, yes, for it to be my birthday.
So happy birthday, Yvonne. Let me see. Congratulations.
You know, listen.
Yes, yes.
I did get recently, a copy of my birth certificate because I didn't have a valid one.
Good thing you weren't deported.
Well, I had a passport, so I wasn't that worried about that. Yeah. Let me see. Does it say the time of birth? No, it doesn't. Because this is, you know, this is the abstract
digital thing.
The one that they, you know. Yeah, I mean, I guess it must be a fake one because Obama's just fake, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know you were born in Kenya, Yvonne.
It says, yes, of course, I was born in Kenya. What does it say here where I was born? Hang on. Is it specific? It says where my father was born. It says, actually, that my birthplace is San Juan, Puerto Rico, exactly. So, yes, okay, all right. So, I was born in a part of town called differently, but it's just a section of town. It is part of San Juan. So, yes, officially, I was born in San Juan. Okay, so...
And they still let you into Florida for some reason.
Yeah, apparently. So there you go.
Happy birthday, Yvonne. Congratulations. You are now old.
Thank you. 47 somehow.
Yeah, the years go flying by. Anyway, so let me hit the agenda. We're once again going to do only two segments this show, although... some of these segments might be a little meaty, so I don't know how long the show will be.
I know that. Let's just get something out of the way. Ed complained that we got too short.
Yeah, we did have feedback after last week's show.
The only person that said something about the length of the show actually complained that we didn't go long enough. That he had to break to an ebook afterwards because we just, you know, we're not as chatty as usual.
Yeah, and so we... the show ended before he was done whatever he was doing while he was listening to us. So he was disappointed in us. Mixed reactions, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I don't know what mixed reaction. I haven't heard from anybody else.
That's true.
We know what the stats say. I mean, the computer says, yeah, you know, they get to, like, you know, whatever the hell percentage of the podcast.
Yeah.
I get that. The only person that spoke up is Ed. So if any other people don't speak up lately, we're going to start going long again.
5 hours.
Five-hour podcast.
That's right. We're going to do, exactly. You know, we might want to do a special one day where we just do a 24-hour podcast, like a marathon.
You know, I thought if you had asked me about a year or two ago, I would have said, can I stay up awake 24 hours straight? I would have said I'm not up to the challenge. Now, having done that like twice in the last month and a half, I think I could give it a shot.
Anyway, for this show, we're still going to do two segments and it's basically... all Trump show, well, Trump or Trump related things, let's say. The first segment is going to just be miscellaneous Trump scandals. And I have a bulleted list of a few. Or, one of them's not really Trump, but it's Trump related. We have the Trump trying to fire Mueller last year. We have the Dutch hacking of the Russian DNC hackers. So hacking the hackers and all that. We have a McCabe retiring earlier than expected. And is that related to the Clinton investigation and what was going on there? We have the Trump-Russian sanctions announcement. We have Trump not agreeing to that Mueller interview after all. We have Rick Gates, right? I'm so bad with names. Rick Gates.
Which one was Rick Gates?
The one that was indicted at the same time as Mueller.
Manafort.
Oh, yeah, not Mueller.
Yeah, Nebuler's not gonna. Muller.
Yeah,
Muller.
I told you I'm bad at names.
Well, no, I just, you know, I put, yeah, Mueller. Mueller. Let's try
Mueller won't be indicted like for a few more weeks.
I like Mueller better.
I know. It looks like it should be Mueller.
It should be Mueller, but it's Mueller. So,
yeah. So Gates changing lawyers, and it looks like he's looking to cooperate and flip. So we'll see how that goes. So that's segment one. We'll be covering all of those, and we'll try to do them. We'll try not to like take 20 minutes on each one of those. We'll try to go through them pretty quickly. And then we've got release the fucking memo. Okay. And
release the memo. Release the memo.
And as we,
I'm like, right now, I don't give to listen. We've already heard like probably about 70-80% of what's in the fucking memo. Just, you know, whatever. Just release it, because they'll look like fools. Of course, now I'm saying this, and by the time you listen to this, they will have released.
So we'll get to that. Memo. So the second segment will be
on
release the memo. But as Yvonne mentions, we are recording this, I said, just after 4 UTC on Friday, which in the U.S. is still Thursday night.
Right.
The rumors currently say that we will probably get the memo released sometime on Friday. Now, the normal way we record the show, and I'm going to rant about this for a little bit. The normal way we record the show is that Yvonne and I will do it. The official normal time these days is Wednesday night, U.S. time, that we record it. But here's the problem. I usually don't get the continuous set of hours needed to actually do all the little mechanics to get the show out until Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon.
There's this pesky thing called work, for God's sake. So if all of you could just start sending, you know, like thousands of dollars a month.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not enough. Tens of thousands of dollars. Now we're talking. Then we could solve this freaking pesky problem.
So, yeah, and so, because frankly, like, on the night we record the podcast, I'm basically not available for my family or anything else. And so, you know, and when I'm done with the podcast, I'm like, the last thing I want to do is start getting the podcast ready. I'd be up till, you know, well after midnight, probably.
And you know, we're in different time zones, which makes it complicated. I mean, I try to do it as late as possible, you know, but some of you have listened to the podcast, you know, over the years, especially, you know, when I'm kind of tired. And if I do it that late, I could fall asleep.
So anyway, and so like then, you know, if we do it on Wednesday, then Thursday night, I want to spend some time with my family. I want to do some stuff. Friday night, same thing. And then so I end up doing it Saturday during the day and putting it out Saturday afternoon Pacific time. But by that time, like, well, in a normal week, it doesn't make that much of a difference. Usually, you know, but so many times in the Trump administration so far, and even in the campaign leading up to it, important things happen every fucking day. So it's really starting to bug me. And so like I do these Sam to the Future inserts. And so like, but right now it's not like there's a surprise. We are pretty sure something big is going to happen tomorrow. And so, this time, Yvonne couldn't do it later. Like, sometimes we would say, okay, let's just record Friday night. It's your birthday.
Let's do it Friday. But the thing is that there's a dinner that my wife has, like, pulled together.
Yeah.
And tomorrow for my birthday. I wouldn't do it on my birthday.
We did push it back one day from Wednesday to Thursday because we thought maybe it would be released on Thursday. But now, no.
But they haven't released the memo!
So here's what I'm going to do this week. And I think we have to have some talk about scheduling and see if we can figure out anything. Because, look, here's the thing. There has been a large number of weeks where it has been a Friday night news dump that is the big story of the week. Now, not all the time. Sometimes things happen any day of the week. But there seems to be a large number of weeks where it ends up something big happens on Friday. And we're always going to get screwed if we record on Wednesday, release on Saturday, and something big happens on Friday. So, I don't know. But for this week, I'm going to suck it up And I'm going to try to release the show earlier. So instead of releasing it on Saturday, I'm going to release it on Friday. I'm going to try. No promises, but I'm not going to put in a damn Sam from the future about release the memo, because look, we are recording before that happened. Suck it up. We'll talk about it next week. But because even if we record the show right now and I release it like an hour after we finish recording, by the time most people listen to it, it'll still be out of date because things happen all the time. They're so fast. Maybe we should just do a live show.
Yeah, well. Live!
Let's do it live! Fuck it, let's do it live.
We'll do it live!
Yeah, so, I mean, we could do that. We have the technology. We could do a live show. But then we would be confronted with the awesome reality that we really never have more than two or three people listening.
Right. I mean, you know, it's hard to make people to listen to.
A live show, especially. Live.
Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Especially when we're kind of like random at our time. So it's not like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to do that without a sketch. Okay. Anyway, I've gone on long enough about this, but the point is,
all right.
You know, sorry guys, you know, the delay is almost necessary because of our other constraints. As Yvonne said, I have to work. I'm sorry. I wish I didn't.
And right.
And
which is why I said that, you know,
throw us a bunch of money. And, yeah, yeah. But we do our best. So today, the topics, the Trump scandals, and then release the fucking memo. Yeah, and that's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to take a break. We're going to go ahead and do that. And when we get back, we'll jump right into all of these things that have been going on. It's been a busy week. I'm complaining about the scheduling, yes, because things always happen like in those 2 days or what, 1 to 2 days between when we record and when I put it out. But it's every day again. We went through a couple slow weeks around the holidays, but it's speeding up again. And it seems like it's accelerating. But we'll talk about that as we go on. We'll take a break. Back after this. No, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. The music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind, No Blue Thing, Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening, The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music. Okay. We are back. And, you know, by the way, just to say, yeah, we're all concentrating on all this Trump scandal stuff this week. That's the topic. But we're at the same time hurtling into, you know, that February 8th deadline very soon, and nobody's talking about it at all. You know, that's less than a week away.
Yes, it's less than a week away. Like I said, that, you know, this is the whole thing why, you know, when all the whatchamacallit, whatever the fuck they're called, ultra lefties, you know, we're all in arms about, you didn't hold out. I'm like, guys, you know what? The fuck are you talking about? We're going to be talking about this in 2 weeks away. Just, you know, it's like nothing happened like right now.
Anyway,
just push this,
and by the way, we had a State of the Union, too, and nobody fucking cares because, like,
you know, this cares. Time we got the usual standard substandard bullshit people saying, oh, look, he could read from a prompter again. Which I'm still like, every time I see the people, anybody push this is like, really? Really?
Pivot. We've reached the pivot. It's happening. It's a whole new Trump now. Anyway.
A whole new Trump.
Nobody cares about any of that stuff because all of this other stuff is going
on. Everybody, I mean, that has been forgotten like faster than nothing. I mean, it's just that.
Okay, so the one thing that was my... One of the two things that happened in between when we recorded the last show and when I put it out, and I made a little note about it, but it came out that Trump indeed actually did try to fire Mueller last year, like in April, I believe it was.
Correct.
Which was about
a month. And then who the heck was it? McGahn basically squared up about it and said, look, if you're going to do this, I got to... resign.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Apparently, he didn't actually tell Trump, I'm going to resign if you make me do this. Trump gave him the order. He walked out of the room and told other people, basically, hey, look, I will resign before this happens. But I'm reading between the lines. I'm going to ignore the order. And he's not going to do jack about it. And it seems
which
like
is
that's
like the
what
one thing
really
people
happened.
Saying that you know that ignoring Trump actually works,
right? And it seems like this is a strategy by a lot of his staff. Is, you know, Trump will rant and rave and talk about whatever the hell he wants to talk about, and they'll just go about their business doing what they want to do. And I think that is actually a better characterization of what happened here than, you know, he made this brave stand and said he would try to resign if this happened, and then Trump backed down. No, I think what happened is Trump was ranting and raving, said, go fire him right now. Guy walked out of the room and just ignored it. And then, you know, a day later, Trump had moved on.
Great.
You know, this is one of those, is this another instance of obstruction of justice or what? You know, and I think maybe because there's an intent factor there, whether or not the people around him carried it out. But it leans towards, you know, strategy for dealing with Trump. I mean, people are talking right now about various people related to the memo and should they resign or whatever if it happens. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. If there's anybody in the Trump administration who actually is sort of, you know, an honorable person, let's say, no, don't resign. Just do your job honorably as long as you can, which includes, you know, ignoring or saying no to unethical or illegal orders. And if Trump doesn't like him, make him fire you. None of this resign stuff, because Trump has shown himself now he doesn't actually like firing people.
Nope, he doesn't.
You know, there's the whole Sessions thing from a number of months ago where, you know, Trump was bullying Sessions and tweeting about him and blah, blah, blah. And then apparently the expectation was like, Trump's like, if I'm mean to him enough, he'll resign and he'll be out of my way. But he didn't. And so he's still there months and months and months later.
No, I mean, it's, by the way,
I'm not necessarily putting Sessions in the honorable category, but I'm just saying.
No. None of these people are in that category. I just look, this thing, I don't think that them not firing him has anything to do with honor. I think that they understood more than Trump did the kind of frickin' additional firestorm that this would bring on everybody.
It would completely backfire.
Right. So why the hell do I go out and carry out something? Think, for example, why am I threatening to quit? Listen, if I go and I fire this guy, we'll all be out of a job probably faster. So let me not do this, because it really probably gives me a better chance of survival. You understand what I'm saying? The order's suicidal.
Right.
Okay.
And also, I think they all know that, like, if they do this, Trump does change his mind. Trump does go back and forth. And if he's asking you to do something you don't think is the right call, you know, just wait a couple hours and he'll think something different.
Right.
Yeah. So, and this is probably like, you know, people are worried about the nuclear button scenario. I could see it playing out exactly this way, where, you know, the aide responsible for it is like, okay, yeah, we'll get right on that, Mr. Trump. We have a little issue. It's going to take a little while. Sorry. And then like 10 minutes later, he's like, ah, never mind.
Right.
But yeah. Okay. Moving on. Next. This one sort of doesn't really fit, but I did want to mention this Dutch hacking of the Russians who hacked the DNC that was leaked this last week. So for those of you who don't know, basically there was a story that started in the Dutch press, that has then subsequently been reported elsewhere, that it was that Dutch intelligence actually provided a lot of the verification. You remember people saying, well, how do we know it was really the Russians that broke into the DNC? And what did they do? And blah, blah, blah. And the answer was, you know, all this stuff is classified, you know, so you don't know. Well, this leak from Dutch intelligence basically says that one of the confirmations was that Dutch hackers working for Dutch intelligence actually hacked into the systems owned by a group of Russian hackers whose headquarters is in Moscow, right, you know, not that far from the Kremlin, and were able to watch them, first of all, watch them just like computer logs and stuff. What are they trying to connect to? Are they connecting to the DNC? What are they getting from the DNC? That kind of stuff. But even more than that, they were able to get access to a security camera of the entrance to the place where they worked. So they could watch people coming and going and try to identify them. And they were able to identify people who came into that facility who were already known from other means to be part of Russian intelligence. So,
oh, well.
So this is all the connecting the dots stuff. And this is the stuff that's not, you know, whenever, you know, the intelligence release about the Russia stuff that happened in the very last days of the Obama presidency, you know, a lot of it seemed very circumstantial. And they're like, oh, we matched some signatures and it looks like the Russians. And there was stuff talked about in terms of.
But there was more. Look, the company that did the analysis of the DNC hack, which is CrowdStrike, and they released that information in September, went and like, look, they looked at one of the things that they caught was that they used Bitly in order to create URLs in order to bait people into the phishing attacks that they did.
Okay? And they looked,
and that the Bitly account that they used, they had left it unsecured, and that CrowdStrike went and was able to go and find the account, and they saw that that account had been used for a series of attacks,
right?
Not just the DNC, that were tied to specific Russian interests that had been going on for the last couple of years.
Well, right. But the connection, and a lot of people to this day push back on that stuff and saying, well, CrowdStrike they don't actually connect all the dots. This is all circumstantial, blah, 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 blah. The stuff from the Dutch completes the picture. It's like,
right.
You see it from the other side. They were actually spying on the Russians who were doing the hacking, and they saw who they were and saw the faces and saw and identified them as intelligence and, you know, all of this stuff. So it puts all of those pieces together. And of course, all of this was known to all the intelligence agencies last year.
But they didn't want to release that because then it would like tip them to their methods and how deep they were.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem with releasing this shit. Well,
and okay? Even now, this week, there's been talk about how now the Dutch had apparently, that operation had ended. They had gotten detected anyway and got kicked out a while ago. But the details that are released, exactly, it lets those Russians know exactly what those vulnerabilities were, how they were being monitored,
right,
what to look for next time. And apparently, over the course of this last week, there's been a series of cyber attacks on Dutch assets. So there's been some retaliation for this week. You know, so this is why this stuff is secret. And it's also why, you know, whenever we get these sort of, this is the declassified version of the report, and you look at the evidence they provide, and this was true for the North Korean Sony thing. This was true for several others, where you look at this and you say, okay, this, there's some thing here, but this evidence looks, you know, there are a lot of holes you can poke in this evidence. It's because they're not
right,
showing you all of it.
Correct.
They're trying to give you just enough to give you the taste of the connections they've developed without telling you all those details. And that's also why in these intelligence operations, it's sometimes not enough to be able to make a legal case to arrest somebody, to do something about it, because they don't want to release all the evidence they have that would be necessary,
right,
to get a conviction. But they know. They just can't tell you why they know, for the
right,
kind of reasons we're just talking about. Now, would I love to
then,
know?
Of course, like telling Trump all these details, all he does is like go and blur them out to the Russian ambassador when he comes visit him at the office.
Yes.
So,
well, yeah. And would I love to know all these details? Yeah. I read this report about the Dutch and was like, oh man, that's pretty cool. That's interesting. I'd love to know even more than that. But I understand why they want to keep that stuff really closely held.
Yeah.
You know, and but this sort of now, even then, I've seen a lot of people poking holes in this Dutch report saying, ah, oh, this report, they didn't even name who their sources were. They're just making this stuff up, you know, whatever. None of this is proven. And OK. Maybe. But without the Dutch intelligence actually releasing a press release and saying, yes, this is right, you're not going to get more than this.
Right. Yeah, basically.
So, anyway, I found that interesting. Okay. Next up, McCabe, retiring earlier than expected. I mean, we all knew.
Well, look. He had already said that he was going to, you know, he was going to retire.
Yeah, and so basically.
And, he had been under a whole bunch of, getting shit.
Oh, yeah. But and the basic change, just so everybody's on the same page.
He's taking all his vacation that he hadn't used.
Yes, he was taking all his. But
that's it.
But that wasn't the plan. He wasn't planning to do that.
That wasn't the plan. But after all the horseshit that he's been getting, he had the unused vacation. I mean, I don't know. You know what? Listen, why would you keep taking crap if what you're waiting is to March, if you've got the vacation?
Yeah, well,
I mean, serious.
But also, apparently, the event that triggered it was not just him deciding, I'm fed up, I don't want to take this shit anymore. But he was actually explicitly told by, what's his name, Ray, the new FBI director.
Yes, yes.
A, I'm building a new team, and you're obviously not going to be in it. But B, right, apparently, basically a heads up that there's going to be an we've known the Inspector General was investigating what went on with the Clinton investigation. Apparently that report is going to include some parts that aren't very positive towards McCabe. At least that's the implication. And so Ray basically told him, get out.
Right.
And he's like, okay, fuck it. I'm out. I'm close enough. I can use my remaining vacation. Still get my pension. I'm out.
Yeah, which you know, I think, you know, makes sense.
It does.
I mean,
but, you know, it's also part of this pattern where the Trump administration is systematically reassigning, pushing out, or firing everybody who surrounded Comey when Comey was around. McCabe was one of the people that Comey contemporaneously gave information about those meetings with Trump. Now, of course, honestly, it doesn't fully make sense because, look, on the one hand, yeah, I can see, okay, he's not a Trump loyalist, get him out. But on the other hand, as soon as he's out, he's a lot freer to say what the fuck happened and to speak more freely. So, like, you know, if you're trying to limit damage, you don't necessarily want to kick these people out because they're a lot more dangerous on the outside. You don't have as much control over them on the outside. Wow. But the Trump folks, exactly. The Trump folks are idiots. It's all about loyalty. It's all about, you know, he doesn't do what I want. He's not, you know, he actually is independent, which he's supposed to be. So therefore, I want him out. And there's we got the stories this week about Trump asking Rosenstein, you know, are you on my team?
Right.
And you know, it's just a common theme. Trump expects everybody around him to just suck up and do exactly what he wants. And there have been report after report, not just that book that came out a few weeks ago, but other things too, that basically Donald Trump is repeatedly dumbfounded and annoyed that when he says something, it doesn't just happen.
Right.
Because that's what he expected the presidency to be like.
Right.
I don't know, like, remember that meeting he had with Obama right after the election where he came out looking stunned?
Yes.
Because apparently Obama spent a few hours telling him everything that was actually involved in the job. So.
Well, it's kind of like, who the hell was it, the other moron that he brought? Rick Perry, right? It put him in charge of energy, right? And then when he went in, he realized, oh, wait a second. I just don't go around and, like, do marketing for, like, the oil companies. We actually control the stockpile of nuclear weapons in the country?
Yeah.
And he's the guy who said that he wanted to get rid of the DOE, so.
Right. Although at his confirmation hearing, he said, I was mistaken.
No shit, Rick. Really? Thanks.
Okay. So we also had Trump and the Trump administration announcing that they were going to implement that sanctions bill that passed overwhelmingly with a bipartisan, near unanimous majority. The way they were going to implement this was
doing nothing.
Well, they designated a list of Russians to watch that apparently they got by printing out, depending on the report I listened to, either a list from Forbes magazine of the richest Russians or most influential Russians, or actually printing out a list from the Kremlin's actual website. Well, one of those things happened. And then they said that basically the mere existence of this law has already served as a deterrent, so we don't actually have to add any sanctions here because we've already deterred these people from any more bad behavior.
Oh, boy. Okay. Sure. All right.
And
okay.
Yeah. This just seems like one of those areas where what possible real... Well, not even what logic is behind it. If Trump was a king, you understand exactly why he would do this. But Trump, the Congress passed this law. Trump signed it. He did not veto it. And now he's just directly ignoring it.
Right.
Now, to be honest, the groundwork to this was laid by several administrations in the past, including both Obama and George W. Bush, and probably going back even further, with this signing statement bullshit, where, you know, presidents sign laws but say that they disagree with certain elements of it and aren't going to do anything about those elements, rather than, you know, enforce it, carry out the law as it was written and then let that kind of stuff be hashed out in court, which is probably what should happen. Instead, they're basically just doing an effective line item veto without actually having a legal line item veto. But here, Donald Trump basically is ignoring the whole damn thing. Although they make an argument that technically what they're doing complies with the law because the law allowed some level of discretion. I don't know. Okay. I haven't read the law. I'm not a lawyer.
I haven't read the law either.
But if Congress was stupid enough to put in discretion into this, then they deserve what they
get. And that's their fault. That's their fault. Yes.
Yeah. But most of the reporting I've heard on this paints it as basically just doing something to make it look like they've met the requirements of the law without actually doing anything. So, okay, two more elements in this segment before we move on to release the memo. Trump not agreeing to the Mueller interview. Now, when we talked last...
Mueller. You're going to have to impose like a fine system in this program for misspelling.
Attach me to like a little electrical shock system.
That sounds actually more fun.
You know, so...
Control it from my phone.
Yeah, control it from your phone. Anytime you hear me mispronounce a name... Or for that matter, say like or something. You just hit the button. It shocks me.
I think our listeners would find that quite entertaining. Okay, we gotta figure out something on this. Okay.
Anyway, when we last spoke about this, we talked about how Trump's lawyers were negotiating with Mueller, but. You know, in the end, Mueller holds the cards here. If he wants to subpoena the president, there have been multiple court cases over the years, specifically in the Nixon administration and in the Clinton administration, that say that investigators of this sort do have the power to subpoena the president and do have the power to compel the president to testify. And Donald Trump came out and in some gaggle with the press was asked about this and went on for a couple minutes about how he would love to talk to Mueller and he wants to. And of course he'll do it under right. oath and blah, 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 blah. And then his lawyer was like, no, we'll decide what happens there. And then, yeah. And then more recently, the lawyers have said, they do not see any need for the president to testify. They've offered a few things, like they've offered that maybe the president could submit an affidavit swearing to the fact that he hasn't done anything wrong. That would be adequate, right?
Sure.
So now it's in Mueller's court. Is he actually going to subpoena the president and then do the lawyers take that to court? Because they've made some arguments about how what Mueller is investigating does not rise to the level that would require the president to testify in the same way that some of the previous lawsuits have.
I don't see how they could make that argument, but
I think
whatever.
It's incredibly weak argument. From everything I have read about the precedents here, that there's not really anything that is less than what happened in either the Clinton or Nixon administrations.
Right.
I mean, especially the Clinton administration. I mean, they were asking him about a civil case related to Whitewater or whatever. And of course, Monica came up. But this is, if anything, more serious than that.
Right.
I'm sure they might want to take it to court. We'll see if Mueller even goes there. Maybe he doesn't need to. I can certainly understand why he would want to talk to the president to understand some of the things he wants to understand. Mueller will have to make the decision. Does he want to push that and take it to court and fight with those lawyers over it? He may, but if the lawyers are pushing back on it, I suspect Mueller will follow all other avenues first, and then only do that at the end if he feels like he really needs something else to wrap things up.
Right. I mean,
Although we talked last week that maybe the fact that he was wanting to talk to the president means he's close to the end anyway, but.
Well, look, we've had all these people that seem to be cutting deals. We've got this investigation that keeps going for a long time. Some of them haven't pled guilty. There could be a trial. I mean, depending on what the hell comes out of the trial, depending on what deal, depending on what the hell they give up. I mean, that's the reason why I this whole thing about believing that this close to any to being done anytime soon is really a lot of wishful thinking and has been for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think even if and it's a question of what really do you mean by done? And how will you know when he's done?
Right.
I mean, if you're talking about Mueller finishes all his indictments and releases his final report and his office disbands and he's gone, that's going to go through all the damn trials and everything else, too. You know?
Right.
I had an You want to shock me or something? Because I said
I don't have the shocker thing. So sorry.
We'll have to figure out how to wire that up. I'm sure one of the people listening can figure out something smart here. You're like an internet enabled application with something that I wear, and then Yvonne gets a button to push. Yeah.
Right. That would be quite cool. That would be hell. I'd probably just be pushing it randomly just for the hell of it.
Well, we'll have to get one going in the other direction too.
Oh shit. Okay, well, that doesn't sound as fun.
Okay.
All we'll be doing during the show is just electrocuting.
It'll be like those experiments with the people, those psychology experiments where people ended up shocking the people because they were told to. So, whatever.
Exactly. That's the outcome. Anyway.
Finally, in this segment... And it ties directly to what you just said. It looks like Rick. Is it Rick Gates?
I think it is Rick Gates. Yes.
So Rick Gates looks like he's flipping. He fired all his lawyers that he'd been dealing with for a long time, and he has brought on a new law firm The top guy in the law firm, I believe it's Green, Tom Green or something like that, is known for doing plea deals. That's like his expertise, is getting people off of really tough situations with plea deals. That's what he's known for. And apparently the new lawyers have spent a lot of time in Mueller's office over the last week.
I don't think that they were going over Christmas lists.
I mean, the one other possibility they could be doing is just getting things prepared for the sentencing deal. That was a trial. Getting prepared for the trial and making sure they've got the evidence they need to be able to mount their defense and all that kind of stuff. But nobody believes that. Rick Gates is working a deal. And it's just a question of what's the deal going to be and what information does he have and how's it going to be? Is it mostly going to be stuff against Manafort? I mean, he worked with Manafort, and maybe he's providing additional evidence against Manafort. But
And that could be a big part, because Manafort has been trying to act like he's, the Teflon Don. I mean, he's really, doesn't seem to be cooperating in any way. That's what it seems so far. So, this wouldn't be surprising.
Right. And Manafort, we've talked about him on the show before, of course, but there was a long article in The Atlantic, a new profile of Manafort that re-reviews all of the history going back to the 70s with Manafort. If you haven't read it, go look for it. It's on The Atlantic. It's a profile of Manafort that came out this last week. And the man is just so dirty, so unethical.
Yes.
So
yes.
Everything the man has done going back decades and decades and decades, he shows no respect for law at all. He shows no respect for it's all about money and jumping from place to place. And he's a hired gun, but he's worked for the worst dictators in the world. And you know, and apparently he was in extreme financial straits before making this coming on board with the Trump folks. And so there's a lot of leverage there. Like, what exactly was going on? What were his motivations? Did he promise anything to anybody else outside this? What's going on there? And so all interesting stuff. We'll find out. Or it could be that Gates has stuff directly on the rest of the Trump campaign. Because the other thing about Gates is Gates continued on with the campaign after Manafort left.
So he's got connect. So he has knowledge across the board, basically, about what's been going on. Right.
Yes, he does. And look, with all of these things, I mentioned in the last segment, it does seem like there's an acceleration. The volume of these things that are coming out is higher than it's been since the last time people were indicted.
I guess the rhetoric is at a fever pitch, because the last time we had all these people getting indicted, it was that whole week where it was like all of a sudden they went into that crazy frenzy, on every, channel, like going about locking Hillary up and all of this stuff.
We have a lot of leaks directly about Trump stuff, but then our whole next segment, this whole release the memo shit and everything else surrounding it, and McCabe and Hillary and this, like, yes, it's exactly that. There was this last time the indictments happened, we talked about how there was this huge frenzy of right-wing attacks on everything.
Yep.
It was like all over the place. There was especially on Fox, but even everywhere else.
It was like all over the place.
They were trying to dust up everything they possibly could, and it was like, well, what are they? Why now? What's going on? Is there something about to drop? And sure enough, boom, indictments. I think we're seeing the same thing now. We're seeing what look like Hail Mary desperation moves from all kinds of Trump defenders. And it's making me think there's something coming, and coming soon, from the Mueller side.
It has to be, because I think that this is the reason why so much of this whole damn stupid thing with like this whole memo crap. It has to be. They need to figure out some way to discredit the investigators, and this is their grand scheme.
But do they actually know something about timing, or is it just like?
I think usually,
because Mueller's got a pretty tight ship.
Yes, but when people are a target, okay, they as much as you're running a tight ship and no leaks are coming from them, the people that are targeted probably suspect seriously that, oh yeah, I'm gonna get something. You do, because you've been interviewed, you've been interrogated, they look through your records and they look through your stuff, and all of this shit has happened, so you kind of like know that something's coming down. So I'm sure that those people, whoever it is that is under target, must be talking to their friends or whatever, mm-hmm. or other people, and say, oh yeah, you know what, dude, I think I'm going down. I think I'm going to be indicted. Usually that's the way. So, it's never really a complete surprise.
No, but it is a question of timing. Like, if they're going to do this big release, and they do a big release now, but then it's another month and a half before indictments are released, then they've expended their ammo early.
Well, I mean, maybe they're just trying to be preemptive about this thing for some reason right now. I don't know. I don't know. Look, I mean, they have been trying to This whole thing about discrediting the investigators has been going on for months. It's taken some additional intensity right now, but it's been going on for months, you know? Maybe they just think that they just need to keep the pressure up right now in order to get this thing wrapped up soon or something. I don't know.
Well,
I don't
know. And then it's pretty much time to go to the next segment, because the next thing is this all related to trying to get a pretext for firing Rosenstein? Rosenstein? Again,
yes,
shock
Stein.
Me. Shock me again. It's time. Is this a pretext for that? Because that wouldn't require specific knowledge of timing of when new indictments are going to be released. It would just be like, hey, we know we want him out of here. Let's get him out of here. And of course, the logic behind that is if you get rid of Rosenstein.
Stein.
Oh, God. Get rid of Rosenstein. Then he's Mueller's boss, essentially. Every time,
right.
Mueller has to get a lot of things cleared by him. And so if you put somebody in who shared Trump's mindset about what this investigation should or should not be, which is basically it shouldn't exist, that person could put massive restrictions and basically start saying no to all of the requests. Mueller wants more money for more investigators? No. Mueller wants to expand the investigation into real estate deals from the 1990s? No. You know, whatever. That person could put a crimp on everything. So even without firing Mueller, you could significantly restrict his ability to work. So we'll see. Let's take a break, and we might as well get to it. It's time to talk about this memo, that isn't out yet, so we don't know what the fuck we're talking about. But everybody else is talking about it, so we might as well. So, back after this.
AlexMZWeb.com, being Alex and Dad. Gaming videos and more from Alex. Elementary school by day, YouTube by night, AlexMZWeb.com. Alex Mzilla is AlexMzilla.com is period and then COM.
Okay, we're back. And before we start, I just wanted to, this is unrelated, but I saw it on Twitter during the break from Fox News earlier today.
By the way, this is the only show that I've ever been able to talk about the P tape on, so that makes sense. And you know it's not true. If someone pees in the bed, where are you going to sleep? Well, I don't think he's having a sleep. It's obviously not true. I don't think it's having a sleep. It's obviously not true. I don't think it's a cuddle fest. But here, there you go. <laughs> God's sakes. Oh, yeah, that's why it's not true. There's obviously no P tape, because then where would you sleep?
Okay, so given that, let's talk about the actual memo. So, look, there's first of all, again, we're talking about this before it's actually released. Next week, undoubtedly, we will know what was in the memo and we'll be able to talk about it in a lot more detail, if it even matters by the time we get to next week, because who knows what else will happen. But people have been speculating, as Yvonne said earlier, there's a lot of this that seemingly everybody's talking about what's in it without actually saying the words. So we kind of know what's right. there, right? Apparently, this is about Carter Page and FISA and how the decision was made to continue surveillance on Carter Page. And this is actually a very interesting point to me. And maybe it'll turn out that this is wrong when the memo comes out. But from everything that we're hearing, it sounds like the controversy here is not the original decision in the Obama administration to put surveillance on Carter Page. It is Rod Rosenstein. Stein.
Fine.
Rod Rosenstein. Fine. To renew the surveillance on Carter Page this last year in 2017. Now, Rod didn't start until sometime in the spring. So,
right, I think it was he was confirmed in March, was it? April?
I don't know, something like that. So, this renewal is right smack in the middle of the Trump administration. And the interesting thing about renewals of these FISA applications is it's not only about whatever the original case was, but to renew it, you have to show that you've actually gotten productive information out of the wiretaps you already have.
This was a renewal.
And that you think you're going to continue to get useful information. So this means, and remember, Carter Page was disowned by the Trump folks way back during the campaign, like October or something, maybe even earlier. But we're talking spring, summer of this, not this year now, spring, summer of 2017. So now they're trying to make the case, apparently, and again, this is all as reported before the thing actually comes out, that this was somehow improper because it was based in some way on the Steele dossier.
Which is a whole bunch of fucking nonsense at this point, because, like you said, it's a renewal of the damn... it was a renewal of an existing... surveillance work. And the renewal was, basically, it must, there had to be evidence that obviously some productive information had been gained from the existing surveillance. So unless they're saying that there was, that wasn't accurate, then,
And this is where the opposition to this is saying, this is whatever's coming out in this memo, they're not directly saying that what's in the memo is false. They are saying it paints a misleading portrait because it leaves out important things. It leaves out important facts. It gives
probably important facts, which go back to what we were talking about, the Dutch and like methods and like whatever, that in some cases this is a big problem, because if you go and like you bring out those facts, then you're tipping your hand to other shit.
Right.
It's like
and so it doesn't,
of course, they keep being concerned about there being some confidential, or how do I say, sensitive stuff in this memo that's being used, which a few people have mentioned that God only knows what the hell it is, because that part we're just not sure what the hell it could be at this point.
And so the Democrats apparently have written a counter memo that this first memo is 3.5 pages. The Democratic counter memo is apparently 10 pages that goes through paragraph by paragraph and states why it's wrong, basically.
Oh, so let's see. I guess, talk about, this is the new America. So the GOP puts an innuendo filled document with no backup whatsoever. And then apparently we people go and try to go through it and address every point with using facts.
But that counter memo, so far, the House committee, which is, of course, controlled by Republicans, is not agreeing to release the Democratic response.
Of course not.
I've heard there's some talk that maybe they'll allow it to be released later, like a week later or something.
Of course, because they want their story to get out first.
Get the narrative going. Now, of course, even then, just like this one was sent to the White House and the White House has a certain number of days to object, the same would be true of the Democratic response. So, of course, Trump could agree, let's send this one out, the Republican version, and then the Democratic one gets to his desk and he's like, no, can't possibly release this. That would compromise sources and methods.
Would that shock any of us? Nope.
Not at all. Here's the thing, though. The latest spin, just in the last few hours before we've been recording this, from the Democrats has shifted from it would be horrible to release this because of sources and methods, and it's an incomplete picture, and it's false, blah, blah, blah. They've shifted their story to now be talking about how, well, if they release it, all of you will see how much of a piece of shit it is anyway. And, you know, the people who are named in it will defend themselves. The FBI will defend themselves. And this thing will be ripped to shreds. And everybody will see how weak it is.
Well, I'm kind of like falling. I mean, at least at first when I heard about this, I thought that this is an insane exercise. I mean, and I had not heard those voices, you know, really. I didn't realize that other people were agreeing with my perspective on this, but I would wound up in this camp a few days ago. I was like, oh, what the hell? Make these morons look like idiots, because that's probably what they'll do.
But here's the thing. And again, it's a question of what audience they're playing to. I don't believe they're trying to convince the public at large of anything.
Idiots.
Yes, this is for.
Okay.
This is for, you know, the deplorables, and to fan the narrative there.
Yeah, those guys. Okay.
You know, right. to say that, you know, the FBI is out to get us. The Department of Justice is out to get us. It's all a big conspiracy. You know, you can't trust anything you hear from these people, as a defensive measure. So if Mueller actually does start indicting people or even releases a report or whatever, all of their folks will be like, yeah, but that's all bullshit. We don't even have to pay attention to it because we know they're biased. Because they're not going to pay attention to the Democratic response or any of the debunking or anything like that.
Correct.
They're going to take whatever's in this thing as gospel.
Right. It's just a useless, like, you know, circle, you know, of communication. Yep.
And the second thing the speculation has is that this is just cover to fire Rosenstein?
Stein.
Yes, I got it right once.
Yes! Woo!
To fire Rosenstein, apparently the insinuation so far is that they believe that he was biased and did an improper thing in this renewal. And so then that can act as a pretext for firing him. Now, from everything I've read about this, you know, read and listened to, I should say, Rachel Maddow has been going on about this for a few days now and emphasizing the entire history of Carter Page, that goes back to 2013 at least, and probably earlier, where Carter Page was caught up in a series. They actually arrested a whole bunch of Russian spies who were in the process of trying to recruit Americans to their cause. And one of the Americans they were trying to recruit was Carter Page, who apparently was falling for it hook, line, and sinker. And
because he's an idiot.
And if you remember, that was some of the quotes from the Russians, is he was such a good target because he's so stupid. So,
I just love
it. And that's where, he'd been under surveillance as part of this for several years, and then they dropped the surveillance in the year or two right before the election campaign, and then essentially they picked it back up again in 2016.
Because, you know, which is the whole point, that this has nothing to do with this damn memo or anything or any of this horse shit that the fucking Republicans want to make this out to be about.
Because, there's all kinds of stuff on Carter Page about, you know, he basically, you know, yes, he may not be an official Russian agent, but he was clearly being used and manipulated by the Russians to get information. He was being paid by them.
He's a moron.
He was being paid by them to go to Russia and give speeches against the sanctions. There's all kinds of things. Forget everybody else for a second and just talk about Carter Page. There is every possible reason that this man should be under surveillance, given his prior history.
Oh, man.
And so it seems like this has to be just BS. But, you know, they're making such a big deal out of it. Even a couple Republicans have been saying maybe they've made too much of a big deal out of it, so that when people actually see it, they'll be like, oh, that's all.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's beginning to be a concern for people, that that's what they're going to say. Oh, that's all.
On the other hand, I guess we'll find out when this thing comes out, and maybe there's something really explosive in it. Because, I mean, there's so many people on the right wing saying explosive revelations, and this is going to turn everything upside down, and you know, basically heads have to roll, and we need a major, you know, revamping of our entire FBI, DOG, that would be dog.
DOJ.
DOJ.
DOJ. The dog. The dog. Yes. We're revamping the dog, of course.
That sounds unpleasant.
Yes, it does. Oh, God. Anyway.
Anyway, we'll find out when this thing comes out. Maybe there will be something explosive. Maybe we'll find out. Because if this really is about Rosenstein and the renewal during the Trump administration, like, I don't know. Then the only possible target is trying to get rid of him. Like, because normally you'd think, well, okay, maybe they're going back and they're targeting Obama again, and they're saying the Democrats were doing all kinds of bad things and blah, 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 and they were targeting us inappropriately. That's what it in past cycles of this, it's been about that. It's been about, you know, things that the Clinton administration, things that the Obama administration did. But now we're targeting events that happened under Trump by Trump employees, Trump appointees. I mean, Trump picked Rosenstein.
Steen.
I just give up. The big R. Yep.
Army.
And which, of course, leads you to as well. Like, Trump doesn't do a really good job at picking his own people anyway, you know?
No, it's a ridiculously poor job. Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, he picked this guy. Like, everybody, like, and this is another thing that the Republicans keep talking about how everything is biased and they're a bunch of Democrats and they're pushing a Democratic agenda. They're all fucking Republicans. Mueller's a Republican. Comey was a Republican. Rosenstein's a Republican. Stein. You know, all of these people. Ray is a Republican. All of them.
Yeah.
And they're just not Republicans who are willing to do the unethical things that Trump wants them to do. That's the real problem. But they're all Republicans. And even this thing that the right has been pushing as well about, and I'm not even going to try, the FBI agent's name, but the FBI agent who was taken off the Mueller case because he was texting his girlfriend about, you know, how much of a disaster it was that Trump was elected. Mueller took him off this case, but they've been pushing how, like, he's, an anti-Republican, anti-Trump, blah, blah, blah. And so this week it comes out that he was the author of the original draft of the statement slamming Hillary Clinton for the email stuff.
Right.
And
apparently that he was pushing for, right, and it was the one, not the original slamming, not the summer one, the one that was 10 days before the election.
Both.
Yes.
It was both.
It was both. Okay. Yeah.
He did both of those drafts. I mean, Comey had the final say on exactly what was going to say, but he wrote the basic drafts. So he did the one in the summer that basically, you know, said we're not going to indict Hillary Clinton, but she was really stupid and irresponsible. And he also was part of the decision to reopen the investigation. Now, apparently there's some question about, like, did he influence the timing of that? Because he knew about it for a number of weeks before they made the decision to tell everybody that they were reopening the investigation. So why did he delay? Of course, that's backwards, too. Delaying was worse for the Clintons You know, if they ended up releasing this information, what was it, 10 days before the election or something like that? And yes, it didn't have time to blow over. If it had been released a month earlier, it would have blown over before the election. Because, of course, there was nothing there.
Right.
Yep. Anyway.
Yep. It would have been a lot better.
So a lot of these things, when you look at them more carefully, don't fully make sense. Like, what are they trying to say? Is there, and yeah, I know. And like at the high level, they're throwing up a lot of flack. They're trying to raise doubt. It's the good old fear, uncertainty, and doubt FUD. It's all about that. Cause when you start looking into the details of any of these things, none of them have held up so far at all. Maybe this memo will be different, but it's certainly not sounding like it.
Probably not.
So, one final thing before we shut this off. Since we're in the unique position where we have a fairly good idea that something big is going to drop right after we finish recording this podcast, within the 24 hours after we record this podcast, any predictions for the next week in terms of what will drop? Will there be any big surprises? What will the reaction be? What's the fallout going to be? Is anybody going to get fired?
See, I don't know, because here's the one thing that we've had about this, right? When Manafort was indicted, right, we all kind of like, I mean, that was like, we knew. I mean, there's been, you know, there have been the raid at his house and other things happening. And, I mean,
he'd been explicitly told that he was probably going to be indicted, or that he was going to be indicted. He was a target, and that had been reported in the papers. So we knew that that was coming.
We kind of expected that.
We didn't
that.
Know if it would be that weekend, if he would actually be the first one. But, you know, everybody would have been surprised if he did not get indicted as part of this. So,
you know, we had no idea about Papadopoulos. Right. Okay. You know,
or really Gates, his name hadn't come up either.
Or Gates, you know, who else am I forgetting that got indicted?
Oh, Flynn, which I should also mention.
Oh, Flynn, which we also thought.
The other thing is that Flynn's sentencing date, Flynn pled guilty as part of his deal with Mueller to cooperate. His sentencing date has gotten moved back several months.
But that's probably because he's cooperating a lot.
Yes, he's cooperating a lot, and he's still providing valuable information. And so, depending on what he's able to give, they might they might ask for even less of a sentence. You know, so they're still in process with him, and apparently he's producing valuable stuff. Because if he'd run dry, if they'd gotten everything they wanted out of him, they'd proceed with sentencing.
Oh yeah, it'd be done, totally.
So, your prediction.
So, I don't know what to predict. I mean, I really don't. That's the problem. I mean, it's just that there are, you know, these others, we had some idea.
I'll give some predictions, and we'll see.
So, you've got a prediction.
How
okay,
bad
what's your prediction?
Are. So, prediction number one, the memo that drops will be juicy enough that the initial reaction will not be, oh my God, there's nothing here. This is ridiculous. There will certainly be people saying this, but the media will be having a field day. They'll be going over it. There'll be some juicy details that we have not heard before that do look bad for the FBI and the Department of Justice. And because they wouldn't be going through this exercise if they weren't able to create a narrative that looked like people were doing wrong things. So it's going to be,
you're under the assumption that we're dealing with a whole bunch of geniuses over here for some reason.
No, not even, I mean, like, I don't think it's going to hold up. I think it's all stuff that when you start looking deeper into it will fall apart under examination. And when experts start weighing in on, well, yeah, but that's not how that works kind of stuff. I mean, basically the criticism we've heard from the FBI and others is that by leaving out important things, they are painting a misleading picture. But I think they will paint a picture that in fact does look pretty bad. It's like, if you don't examine it deeply, if you just read it at a high level, you'll be like, oh my God, were they really doing that? That doesn't sound like something they should be doing. That sounds not right. And then it only falls apart when you start looking into the details and realize that it's bullshit. But at that high level, at that initial impression reading it, it's going to sound bad. And so you're going to have lots and lots of people talking about the details of what sounds bad about it. And it's going to take a little while for the people who are coming back and saying, no, that's bullshit, and let me explain why, to get the to get their voices really heard. Because of course the interesting newsy bit about it is going to be the juicy bits that look bad. Okay. So right. I think all the talk initially is going to be about that. It's going to take a while for the defense, as it were, to rally and figure out how to counter it. So we're going to have some time with that narrative. And then I'm going to say I will give it a 50-50 shot that Trump will actually try to fire Rosenstein during the first few days after this happens, to sort of strike while the iron is hot, while everybody's still talking about the negatives and all of the information needed for the defense hasn't come out yet, because some of that information is classified. And in order to defend it properly, people are going to have to take big risks by leaking stuff that has not been approved for release. And so there'll be a little bit of a delay. And I'm not predicting it definitely will happen. I'm just saying it's a highly risky time where if Trump really wants to do this, because by the way, another thing we haven't mentioned here, but should, is there's also a little controversy where Nunes, whose staff wrote this, will not deny that his staff worked with the White House to write this thing in the first place.
Correct. They haven't. Yeah, they've been asked the question. They have not denied it.
Right. So the White House, if the White House was really involved in drafting this thing and setting this up, you got to think they have a plan for follow through. And again, they're incompetent, so maybe not. But if there's a plan for follow through, the natural follow through is release a memo that talks about how bad Rosenstein is, and then use that as the excuse to get rid of him while all of the heat on that is still out there before anybody's had a chance to properly debunk it.
Yeah. Well, look, I think nobody's getting fired. Right. I think nobody's getting fired because the same reason why Mueller hadn't gotten fired before.
On our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, you said not only would nobody be fired this week, but nobody would be fired this month.
Correct. Of February.
I've just gone out a limb and given it a 50-50 chance of happening this week. I would say
Nobody's getting fired.
And I will say not this. If it doesn't happen this week, the chances of it happening this month drop dramatically. Like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen right on the heels of this.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's getting fired. I just think it's just, it's just adding more.
So the other side
to the whole damn thing.
The other side of that then is if they're not going to fire somebody, then the other reason to be doing all of this stuff now is they expect imminent indictments.
Yes, I think that's why.
So Do you think we're getting any indictments in the next week?
I think that we are getting some indictments in the next, I think, 45 days.
Okay, so not this week, though.
Not this week, but I think that we are definitely getting indictments over the next 45 days. And this is part of their offensive to try to discredit this whole thing.
Right. So I don't know. I'll go further out on a limb, and I'll probably get both of these wrong. Because you're right, things tend to move a little bit slower, even in these kinds of situations. But indictment or firing, one of those things is going to happen pretty damn soon. I don't know which, and maybe it's not within 7 days, maybe it's not before our next show, but one of those things is going to happen pretty soon, because otherwise, why the hell would you do all this right now?
Well, we'll have your memo, though.
We will have the memo.
Uh-huh.
So, there you go. So, whenever you're listening to this, you'll either be right before, I don't know, whenever you're listening to this, you'll know soon, if you don't know already, what happened with all of this. So you'll be able to grade us and see where we are. I just feel like this next week is going to be a very busy news week. Just watch it.
Well, I think nothing will happen because once this thing comes out, right, it'll start a war of words over this, and you know, accusations or recriminations and so forth and so on. So yes,
so
that
for most things that come out these days, though, it's like, you know, scandal of the, like, we've already forgotten about the porn star, right? The paying off the porn star.
Right.
That was like,
yeah, it's out.
That was
done.
Ancient history at this point. It was last week, right?
Yeah. It was last week.
But
really last week?
I think it might be 2 weeks now.
Maybe 2 weeks. It's like 2 weeks.
Anyway, that's ancient history now. Will this be something where it comes out on Friday and by Tuesday we've forgotten about it?
I don't know, maybe Tuesday, but I would say I'll give it 10 days. Max. Well, by 10 days, we'll have completely forgotten about this. And we're on to the next porn star.
Oh, yeah. There was also that thing about Nikki Haley.
Was she having an affair with that they said?
Well, Trump.
Oh, it was with Trump.
Well, that was what Michael Wolff implied, was that Trump was having an affair, and then he
I would have thought for sure it was Hope Hicks.
Well, right. See, he wouldn't give a name. He wouldn't say a name, but he said that if you read his book carefully, you'd be able to figure it out. And so a whole bunch of people scoured his book looking for sentences and came up with it must be Hope Hicks based on how he referred to her. In a couple paragraphs, right. In one section of the book. No, not Hope Hicks, sorry. It must be Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley.
Based on how he referred to her in a couple paragraphs in the book. Nikki Haley directly denied it. Wolf has refused to say one way or another who he was talking about, but he finds it interesting that she's denying it, and people were saying that she spent a lot of time with him, whatever. So he sort of did a non-denial that it was Nikki Haley, but a lot of people are also saying Hope Hicks. But one thing I found interesting is he was on Morning Joe, and he actually it was sort of overwhelmed by the fact that Mika Brzezinski actually kicked him off the show. But he actually said,
why did Mika kick him off the show?
Because he was, because of the way he was treating Nikki Haley. And the kinds of things he was implying about her. And anyway, so she kicked him off. But he actually said it in a minute before he was kicked off, a sentence that most people, I haven't seen a lot of reporting on. He actually said that what I'm trying to imply is that he is currently involved with several women currently. So
wow.
We'll see, which would surprise absolutely no one, right?
Well, I would say that, I guess I'm not going to be surprised. Why the hell would I be surprised about anything at this point?
I mean, it completely matches his history.
No. I get that. It's just that, you know, he's been so, well, I mean, I guess he's been out of the White House a lot. Okay, all right, yeah, sure.
He's at his own his own properties every weekend, practically.
Right. No. And Melania doesn't seem to be wanting to spend that much time with him, really. So
no, so anyway, we'll not that again. Like that doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, Donald Trump screwing around on his wife does not really matter.
It was with there was $130,000 payoff, a porn star, the whole thing, and it barely registered a blip.
Okay, we are done. Thank you for joining us for yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. Anyway, the usual stuff. Thank you for joining us on the show. I hope you enjoyed it. Blah, blah, blah. If you have comments, questions, thoughts, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/curmudgeonscorner. Like Ed did last week, you can give us a comment about the length of the show or the content of the show, or tell us, you know, whatever the logistics, you should have waited for the damn memo to come out before you recorded the show or whatever.
Release the memo!
Or more realistically, tell us to stop fucking whining about it and just record the damn show.
Release
don't worry
the
about
memo!
It. Yeah, you can tell us whatever you want. And then if you really like us, what is it, Yvonne? Where do you go if you really like us?
If you're all like, well, you can go to our Facebook page, okay?
I already gave that one, yeah.
You can go to our Twitter. Okay. I am Bou. Sam is at Ablesmay, at ABULSME. Okay. And what else am I forgetting?
You are forgetting the way you can make sure that I get these shows out a lot faster, which is go to patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner and give us lots of money.
Yes, lots of money. Tons of money. Cash.
Exactly. Tons and tons of cash.
Look, if you don't understand how to send a lot of money, apparently Paul Manafort's pretty good about that. So, you know, give him a call. He knows how to...
Yeah, he'll import a rug for you or whatever it is.
Or something, whatever. Right, exactly. Okay, you know.
And that's it. Enjoy the next week. I suspect it's going to be a really full news week, but maybe it'll just be boring. We'll find out. Tune in next week on Curmudgeon's Corner. For now, have a great week. Goodbye.
Bye.